Father, we give you all the praise this morning. So thankful that you did what only you could do. The only one. The only one in creation. The only one with the power to calm the seas. The only one whose blood was good enough to save us. God, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. And this morning I pray that even as we say that with our mouths, I pray that it would come from our whole heart, all of us. Lord, even as we open your word now, I pray that our ears would be in tune, that we would have do what you would have us to do. And Lord, that we would learn every day even more how to praise you and to give you thanks. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. As you're being seated this morning, our kids are going to be dismissed for Kids Connect as they meet the teacher down front. This morning, let's take our Bibles to Psalm 138. Psalm 138. As we are here on this Sunday before Thanksgiving, and an opportunity for us as a church family to celebrate Thanksgiving and enjoy a time of thanks together, this psalm continued to just come to my mind of a psalm of thanks. It's a psalm of David. And towards the end of the book of Psalms, we see a grouping of psalms that David wrote. And in Psalm 138 kind of kicks it off with this psalm of thanks. But for me, this psalm has held a lot of meaning. It's one of my favorite psalms. And, you know, we all have those certain portions of Scripture that stand out to us, certain portions of Scripture that really have a personal application and draw. And for me, Psalm 138:8 was a verse that had a lot of meaning. You see this picture here, this verse card that I put up here. It was my first year in college, and you know, I grew up in Central Florida, and for some strange reason, I decided to spend my first year of college in upstate New York. I mean, it was about 80 miles north of Albany in the middle of the Adirondacks. And for someone that had never seen snow, it was quite the departure. You know, the heaviest coat that we have in Florida is a windbreaker. And here I was getting off the plane in New York, and it was already colder than I had ever experienced in Florida. And so first year in school, first year away from home, all of that. But not only that, for a Christian guy, you know, surrendered to the ministry and going off to Bible college, there's this thing that happens when you go to Bible college. But you start looking, all right, who's the woman that's going to be my wife? And you start, you know, those thoughts begin to come into your mind, and you're thinking about those different things. And, you know, and so all those new experiences were happening and there in school. And I'll never forget, because I got a care package from my parents. And those things are always just, they come at the right times. It was a hard week. It was a hard time. And it was getting towards the end of that first year, and there was a lot of decisions that I had to make, and of where I was going to continue school and different things. And in it was this little verse card that my parents had put in it. Psalm 138:8. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. And this was in the King James Version. And I took that card, and of all the things in that care package, it stood out to me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. And I began to pray about these different decisions and different things that I had to make, and, you know, about school and about all these different things that were upcoming. And there was another thing that I began to pray about instead of doing it on my own. God, who do you want to be my wife? It concerned me. It was in my concerns. And this verse stood out to me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. And so I said, Lord, I'm going to take this to you. Lord, who would you have to be my spouse? She needs to be able to play the piano, and she needs to be able to sing. I'm not asking for much, Lord. I'm just asking for those things. And perfect that which concerns me. And it wasn't but a few weeks after that that I had come to Texas. And the first day that I was in Texas, I realized how much God had blessed Texas. And I met Nicole. And you know, and this verse has always sat on my desk as a great reminder of how God perfects that which concerns me. Some of you might have been a beneficiary of different times and different texts or different conversations in different times when I've said, hey, you know what a great verse for this time is? Psalm 138:8. Because it's a meaningful verse. And as I began looking at this for Thanksgiving and looking at it, this whole psalm gives us a wonderful picture of Thanksgiving. But not only that, what we do with the Thanksgiving. So let's read this psalm this morning, Psalm 138, verse 1. It says, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of my soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly. But the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his promise for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. A beautiful psalm of David. We see the psalm of praise. And this morning I've entitled this Talking Thanksgiving. What do we do with this thanksgiving and this praise? And this psalm just lines it out very easily for us. And this morning I want you to see in the first section, the first two verses, we see where thanks begins. Where thanks begins. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. David begins in this position, in this posture of praise, saying, I give thanks to you, O Lord. Where does it begin? With my whole heart. I give thanks with my whole heart. This is an undivided heart. Thanks begins with an undivided heart. There's no division. All of me, my complete heart, I am giving thanks to you. Too many times it's easy for us to give thanks with a divided heart. We give thanks to God on Sunday and then live without Him the rest of the week. That's not giving God thanks with our whole heart if we aren't living with Him throughout the week and throughout our life. But David is coming here. He's beginning this whole psalm of thanksgiving saying, let me clear it for you here. I'm going to give you thanks, Lord, with my whole heart. There is no division here. It's not the Lord and. It's you that deserve my whole heart. It's you that deserve my whole attention. It's all the undivided heart. Because if it's not whole, if we are praising God and living and giving pieces of our heart to all these other different things, a lot of times our praise then is nothing but a cover up. That we are praising God on Sunday and living like we want to the rest of the week. We're just covering up the way that we want to live by giving Him a praise on Sunday and thinking maybe that has sufficed Him enough to bless me in what I want to do the rest of the week. That's not a whole heart. David says, I'm going to give you praise with my whole heart. Because when we do that halfway and we give God praise and then live like we want to and do all these other things, we are doing nothing but appeasing ourselves in the praise to make our conscience feel good. Well, I did, you know, praise Him on Sunday. But instead, David clears the decks and he says, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Thanks begins with an undivided heart. It continues with an unmuted mouth. Look what he says, before the gods, I sing your praise. And what's interesting is this psalm, as we look at the occasion for this psalm, most likely falls in a pattern in a time of David's life in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and chapter 8, where there are other kingdoms that are wanting a divided Israel. And they're wanting to attack and divide the kingdom. You had kingdoms such as the Jebusites. You had kingdoms like the Philistines and the Moabites. That they were trying to see a divided kingdom. And listen, if Satan can get us divided, he has won battles. And so we see in this different aspect, this pulling back and forth of all these different kingdoms, we see David respond before the gods. In other words, he is saying before the gods of those pagan nations, before what they worship. He's not saying that there are other gods. He's saying before their objects of worship, I'm going to sing your praise because praise combats idolatry. Praise combats the worship of all these other gods. Because when praise is on your lips and when you are giving God praise, you are saying, this is the object of my worship. I'm not worshiping these other gods. I am worshiping my God, the God of heaven. He says, before the other gods, I'm going to sing your praise because that praise combats the idolatry. It rehearses who God is. Several years back, there was a group called Casting Crowns, and they wrote a song sort of praise you in this storm. And what's interesting about that song is it's a perfect picture of even when we go through the storms of life that we should learn to praise God. Because when we praise God, it takes our mind and focuses on who He is, on who that is worthy of our praise and who can get us through these situations. This heart and this thanksgiving begins with the undivided heart, the unmuted mouth, and then the bended knee. He says, I bow down toward your temple. We see throughout Scripture that bowing is a posture of worship because bowing is a posture of submission. It's a posture of you are God, I am not. And he says, I am bowing before your throne. In other words, I'm going to worship God, God's way. Toward your holy temple. Worship is not about what pleases us. Worship is about His worth and what pleases God. And that's why it's important for us to worship God through our whole life. Thanks begins with this undivided heart, with my whole heart. It begins with an unmuted mouth. I'm going to sing your praise. When you're going through a tough time, start singing praise. Watch how it begins to change your mindset. When you're going through the tough times, imagine singing the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. Thinking about the story of all that came with that of a hymn writer who lost his whole family. And then on that spot where he is passing by, he writes that hymn, When Peace Like a River Attends My Way. Sing praise. thanks begins with an unmuted mouth and then a bended knee, a posture of worship. And then the psalm goes on and shows us what thanks boasts. Here's what thanks boasts. In verses 3 through 7, we see the acts for thanksgiving. Verse 3, you see God answers. On the day I called, you answered me, and my strength of my soul increased. There was an answer to prayer, most likely dealing with these other kingdoms, because he goes right into the next part. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks. Hey, those Jebusites, those Philistines, those Moabites, they're going to praise God. And listen, we've got an option. We can either praise God now, or someday he's going to make every knee bow and every tongue confess. And think about this. All the kings of the earth. You know, it's sometimes hard for us. There's a departure in our mentality because of the different types of government. But to think about a monarchy and to think about a king and to think about this royal. When there was a king, they were the sovereign. It was their way or the highway. You didn't stand before the king and say, well, you know, king, I think it probably should be done this way. It didn't go over well a lot of times. And so when you look here and you see all the kings of the earth, it's talking about all the highly elevated positions on earth, all these highly authoritative people on earth, all the kings are going to bow to the king. The king of kings. The one who rules, the one who reigns. Thanks boast that it is God who answers. It is the God who works. Who works in the lives of all these. The kings have heard the words of your mouth. They are going to sing of your way. For great is the glory of the Lord. He works and then he delivers. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly. But the haughty he knows from afar. Notice the position change there. All the kings, all the highly elevated people, they're going to sing the praise of God because he is the king above the kings. He is the name above all names. He has every right to all of that elevated position because of who he is. And yet, in that elevation, in that holiness, in that sovereignty, he regarded the lowly. But the haughty he knows from afar. Look there at the different contrast. The lowly. Those that are humble and those that have this spirit of, you know what, I'm nothing. The Lord has regard for the lowly. But the haughty, listen, I'm everything. I'm God's gift to all of this. I've got this figured out. I'm doing pretty good for myself. All this seems to be going right in line. You know what? I've done this and I've done that and I've taken care of that and I am this and I am that. And when that becomes your main word, watch out. Because God has a way of bringing that down. The haughty, he knows from far. God delivers the lowly. Because of verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. David is boasting in this thanks of God. He is boasting of what God has done. It is very much a part of gratitude to boast of what God has done. It's in it in itself to say, thank you. You are putting the force and the focus on someone else. It is what you did. If I am telling somebody thank you, it's because that you did something in my life. And when we come with that gratitude to God and we say thank you, we are boasting you did something in my life. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for answering. Thank you for working. Thank you for delivering. Thanks, boast of God. And then thirdly, we see in verse 8 what thanks brings. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Three lines of what thanks brings. The first line we see is assurance. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. This is the assurance that God is going to complete that which He started. I've spent all this time giving God thanks and I've given Him praise. And you know what? It changes our mindset that when we give God the thanks and we give God the praise and we do it with our whole heart, not divided, and we give God that attention and we praise Him, we begin to realize this is all that God has done. He is capable of fulfilling His purpose in my life. There's an assurance that God is going to finish what He started. I love the way that Charles Spurgeon put it. He said, God's beginnings ensure God's endings. He didn't start creation on day one and leave it unfinished. But He came to that point where He said, this is good, and He rested. Philippians chapter 2 tells us in verse 6 that He which began a good work in you is faithful to perform it until that day. And we see that what God has begun in us, He is capable of completing. He can perfect. And the wonderful thing about that is it's His purpose. It's His perfection. It's not what I think is perfect. Because a lot of times what I think is perfect doesn't hold half of what God thinks is perfect. I have a tainted viewpoint. I have a tainted vision. But when I see God's perfection and see the completeness, I tell you, one day we're going to stand in heaven and we're going to realize, I had no idea it was going to be like this. Because God's perfection is something completely different than ours. And when we give thanks and we put our heart towards that, we find that assurance. Listen, God can do it. That's what Paul said. I am persuaded that He is able to do that which I've committed unto Him against that day. You see the assurance, the Lord will fulfill His promise. Then you see the foundation. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Steadfast love here is in the Hebrew, this hesed, it's a beautiful picture of God's faithfulness. It's a beautiful picture of seeing what God can do. Of seeing Him time and time and time again. When I don't deserve it, God blesses and He loves and He forgives. That time and time again that we see Him answer prayer. That time and time again after I have sinned and I say, Lord, please forgive me of my sin. We see 1 John 1:9 that He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we see that hesed, that steadfast love, we can see that this is the foundation. This is how we know that He's going to fulfill His promise, because He is faithful. I saw a testimony the other day of a couple that had been married for, I believe it was over 45 years. The husband had Alzheimer's and his mind was beginning to slip and forgetting that he was married. And one day he said to his wife, I really like you. Will you marry me? And she said, yes, darling, I'll marry you. And they set up a service. That after all those years, through the ups, through the downs, through the hard times, that there's still that faithfulness to say, yes, I love you. Yes, I love who you are. You know, the beautiful thing about faithfulness is it increases the love daily. Because as you work daily, and I believe this is something that we see that is missed in promotion of fidelity and promotion of faithfulness today, is the fact that faithfulness grows love. Faithfulness does not produce staleness. Faithfulness does not produce boring. It's only going to do that if your eyes aren't in the right spot. When we see faithfulness and we see it grow, that each and every day it creates a greater love. Because each and every day you see the faithfulness of going through the ups, going through the downs, and coming through every aspect. And as each year goes by, and as each day, each moment that you see the faithfulness, it grows a love of, wow, this is how much they love me. And each year of faithfulness that we see that God has, that God works in our life, we see this foundation. It makes us think of that line in "There is a fountain, dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power." And it is always there for us. It's the foundation. And then notice how he finishes. Of all this thanksgiving and all this praise, and this, what this thanks is bringing is assurance. It's bringing this foundation of mercy. Notice the last line. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Let me tell you, folks, gratitude should increase our communion. Gratitude should increase our communion, that when we are grateful and when we see all that God has done, it should bring this assurance. It brings us this faithful, firm foundation that we have to build on. But then it should also increase our communion. Do not forsake me. Do not forsake the work of your hands. We see this prayer that is given. Our gratitude, our thanksgiving should be a talking thanksgiving, because it should produce in us the desire to want to commune with God even more. That when we see of who He is, it should want us to draw closer to Him. Do not forsake the work of your hands. After all this thanksgiving, David closes the psalm with a request. Do not forsake the work of your hands. It makes us think of Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are His workmanship, and God does not leave the project unfinished. He will complete it. That He will bring about the work. He will not leave it undone. Gratitude should increase our communion. And David, when he's giving God all this praise, he finishes off and says, "Lord, don't forsake the work of your hands." When we come in praise with our whole heart, when we bow and bended knee before Him, and we put the focus on Him and boast of Him and His works, we see the assurance of what He does. We see His track record. We see His mercy, the foundation, that steadfast love that endures forever. And that's why we can come to Him and say, "Lord, don't forsake me. Don't forget me. Because I know that You can do it." This week of Thanksgiving, we're going to have a lot of busyness. We're going to have a lot of things to do, things to prepare, things to get ready. There's going to be a lot that happens. And even as we lead up even to Christmas, there's a lot of busyness in this time. But one thing it shouldn't do is detract from our communication to God. Thank You. Thank You for who You are. Thank You for what You've done in my life. Don't forsake the work of Your hands. In 2008, Haley Bartholomew was battling depression. She was married, had two kids, and going through a lot of ups and downs, she began to see a counselor, and the counselor said, "Find something every day to be thankful for. Reflect and give thanks every day." So Haley began, so she started with a journal. And Haley was a photographer, and her mind began thinking, and she began seeing a change. And she said, I'm going to start a project, and she called it the 365 Project. That she would take and be, it was called the 365 Grateful. And every day for a year, she took a Polaroid camera, and she would take a picture of something that she was thankful, some small thing, whatever it might be. She would find something every day to take a picture of and to be reminded of something to be thankful for. And it began to change her days. She said it really stuck out to her. She felt like her husband was being very unromantic. She felt like her husband wasn't, doing all the little small things and wasn't being very romantic, and felt like there was a lot of romance lost in the marriage. She said, but then it hit me. Because one night they're sitting at the dinner table and it came time for dessert and there were two pieces of pie left. She said her husband just reached down, grabbed the biggest piece of pie and put it on her plate. And then just sat down like nothing else. And she took a picture of that pie. Because she said, it reminded me that every day he did little things just like that to show me how much he loved me. And she began to realize the different things. As one day she woke up and he had made a heart for her, and different ways that he would take care of the kids. And she began to see all the different things. And it changed her perspective. Gratitude should increase our communion. If we find more ways to praise God, I guarantee you, you will find more ways to thank God, to see who He is, to give Him praise. But if it's not your whole heart, you're not going to take the time to find God. You're going to find more ways of, why isn't this happening for me? Why isn't this going the way that I want it to do? Instead, give Him the whole heart, change the perspective, and watch it increase your communion. Shall we stand this morning? With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, as we think about this psalm. And I pray that God's word sticks to you this morning. As we think about all that David was saying, I want to ask you just two questions. How is your heart of gratitude? How is your heart of gratitude? Are you truly thankful? And the second one comes off of that. How is your heart of gratitude? And then how are you communing with God? Because gratitude should increase that communion. How is your prayer life this morning? Is it all about, God, give me this, take care of this, do this for me? Or do you take time in your prayer life, in your communion, to say, God, thank you? To spend that time praising Him with your whole heart, worshiping Him His way, boasting of the things that He has done. Because when we do that, then we can say, Lord, don't forget. Don't forsake me, your handiwork. How is your communion with God? Two questions. How is your heart of gratitude? How is your communion with God this morning. Because the Lord can perfect that which concerns you. His mercy, His love, His steadfast love endures forever. Our Father, I pray now in this time, Lord, that we would just give it to You, that God, that we would give You the thanks and praise, that we would be grateful, but Lord, not only that, that we would turn that into talking to You. We would turn that praise into a daily communion with You. We would see that You will perfect that which concerns us. Thank You, God, for Your word this morning. Work now in this time of response as only You can. And we'll give You the praise. For it's in Your name we pray.